from one of my favorite Dr. Seuss books. It's about the Sneetches, and I think, actually, I was looking back on my notes, because I swore that I had talked about the Sneetches once. I think I mentioned the Sneetches on the interview sermon that I had here on a Wednesday, I think back in, was it 2013 or something like that, a long time ago. The Sneetches, there's two kinds of Sneetches that live on the beaches. There's those who have stars upon thars, the star-belly Sneetches. You can see that one is on the left. And there's those who have no stars upon thars. That's the one on the right. The star-bellied Sneetches had all sorts of fun. They were the cool kids of the crowd. But that star on their belly was a dividing wall between them and those who did not have stars upon thars. Those who did not have stars upon thars weren't invited to Frankfurter roasts and marshmallow toasts and other things that rhymes with oasts, I'm sure. So the star was a dividing wall. And in this passage from Ephesians, Paul also talks about a dividing wall of hostility. And the dividing wall of hostility, oddly enough, is actually God's own law, his own word, his commandments. And that dividing wall divided two groups. And in this passage from Ephesians, it divided Jewish Christians, those who were raised and born Jewish and part of the nation of Israel, but came to faith in Jesus, it divided them from Gentile Christians. Christians, people who were Greeks from around, they were something other than Jewish is what they were. Maybe they were pagan, maybe they were worshipers of Zeus or something like that, I don't know. But they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a dividing wall between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And the Jewish Christians were almost like the star-belly Sneetches. They had stars upon theirs, and they were better. But better in kind of a good way. These Jewish Christians, as former Jews and from the Jewish heritage, remembered and knew that they were special because God made them special. In God's word, which he gave to them, which was a blessing to them, God said to them, I will be your God, you will be my people. If that's not a star upon your belly or on your star chart that you have at home, that I don't know what is. God told them, I will be your God, you will be my people. They were the children of God, these Jewish people, these people of Israel. In God's word, God gave them all sorts of other promises, promises of comfort, promises that he would always be there for them. He gave them also his very law, his commands, which, when you think about it, is the will of God. God gave them, revealed to them his desires, his will. And in the prophets, he told them about a Messiah that would come and come out of them and defeat sin and death and make them finally once again God's people. And in this law, God also gave them a sign, circumcision, a sign that would be worn upon their flesh that would distinguish them from all other peoples. It was a special thing. God made these people special. But the law and God's will and God's commandments, this word, this unique history that God has with his people that through his Holy Spirit he put into writing for us to see, this Old Testament is unique to them, and it acted as a dividing wall between them and Gentiles, those who were not born into the Jewish faith. And in this letter from Paul to the Ephesians, in this section, he's kind of addressing both groups, and he's addressing mostly Gentile Christians. And he tells them, listen, you at one time were far off. You are on the other side of this dividing wall, and this dividing wall has become a thing of hostility between you and the Jews. Listen, as Gentiles, you were aliens to the nation of Israel, and as aliens, that means that you were on the outside. You were strangers then, strangers to the promises, the covenant that God has made with his people. You're strangers to this. And as aliens and as strangers, listen, you Gentiles, you at one time were so far off that you were without God. And as people without God, you were without hope. And apparently, reading between the lines in Paul's letters to the Ephesians, there it sounds like there were some Jewish Christians that were holding this against the Gentile Christians. They were acting like the star-belly sneetches who had stars upon Lars. That they were still somehow better than all these Gentiles, even though they were all of one in faith in Christ. When it comes to salvation in the Lord, though, the reality is, and Paul gets to this, is that we all find ourselves on the other side of the wall. See, the law of God was dividing sinful people, one from another. But the reality is that the wall also divided people as a whole from God. Because the reality of the gospel and the reality of Scripture is that it didn't matter if you had the law or not. There was no thing that the Jews could do in their flesh, whether it was circumcision or some act, some thing of penance. There was nothing they could do to break down that wall and come near to God. There is nothing. Nothing in our flesh can bring us wholly before God. In the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther railed on this. He would rail against those who joined the monastery. And he could do this because he also was one who joined the monastery. Because at the time, the view was, if you join the monastery, that's the highest thing you can do. And it's a sacrifice, and that's automatic salvation right there. And so Luther saw that that's a work of the flesh that disregards the sacrifice of Christ altogether. There is nothing we can do in our flesh that can bring us wholly before God, not even circumcision. And so Paul gives us this good news in Ephesians. And he says to all Christians, Jew or Gentile, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups, Jews and Christians, Jews and Gentiles, into one. And has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, in his sacrifice, in his life, fulfilled all that the law required. And in his flesh, he overcame what the law requires. And so because we then are, as Christians, no matter what our background is, are in his flesh, we then are brought near by his blood. He creates in himself then one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace. In verse 21 we see this, in him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Paul isn't talking about a building there, though he's referencing the temple. He's talking about the people of God. I know a pastor up in Grafton, Pastor Chris Gall, is just a fantastic pastor, and he told me once when he was on his internship during seminary working under a pastor, I think up somewhere in northern Michigan. When he first got there, the pastor that he was working under took him to the church building and showed him around, showed him where his workspace, his office would be, and showed him where the sanctuary was, and bathrooms, and basement, and kitchen, and all that stuff. And then when he was done showing the building to Chris, he said, "Now I'm going to go show you the church." And they left the building, they got in the pastor's car, and the pastor proceeded to drive him around town to show him the houses of where the members lived, the buildings where they worked, and introduced him to people who were members of the church, because they are the church. You are the church. A bunch of Christians from different backgrounds brought near together into one body by the blood of Christ. In his flesh, we have been brought to forgiveness. We have been unified by forgiveness. We have been unified by one common faith that says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit." Jesus in his flesh does what no person, Jew or Gentile, could do in their own flesh. And in his flesh, we have become near to God, that we might know him and be together a church serving as the dwelling place for God on this earth, serving those who do not yet know the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, well, we give you thanks for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We were far off, but you brought us near by your blood, simply through your mercy, your grace. And now we live as people who are in Christ. Help us, O Lord, to live as a unified body, to live as your church, to do what you would have us do in this community and in this world, serving those and bringing your word to those who do not yet know you. We pray this in your name. Amen.